It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charleston will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
The National Agricultural Statistics Service's Pacific Regional Office has rescheduled the 2023 California Almond Objective Measurement Report. The new release date is Wednesday, July 12th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. All available California reports are online at nas.usda.gov/CA. You can also select subscribe to California Reports on the left side of the webpage to receive a PDF of California Reports by email. Iceberg and leaf lettuce crops in California's Salinas Valley are experiencing some challenges related to disrupted planting schedules back in March caused by heavy rains and flooding, as well as cool, humid conditions over the past 2 weeks. Since the Salinas season started, the industry has seen peaks and valleys of supply and optimal plant maturity based on when and how growers were able to plant their crops in between the many heavy rain events of the winter and early spring. This is expected to be the last significant supply gap related to the heavy rains in March. Marcon First Cooperative Iceberg and some MFC Greenleaf and Romaine packs are limited. Marcon Best Available is being substituted as needed. Case weights for 24-count liner lettuce have been dropping into the upper 30 to mid-40-pound range and may remain low through next week or longer. Some varieties of Greenleaf and Romaine have been vulnerable to internal burn, fog burn issues caused by high humidity and excess moisture that occurs when the morning marine layer recedes and temperatures warm up in the afternoons. Increased insect pressure has also been observed in some lots. Marcon inspectors are working with suppliers to secure the best lots for commodity and value-added packs and will continue to update as needed. Last summer, Mountain View was excited to introduce its premium table grape program under their new Estate Vineyards label, led by industry veteran and Mountain Grape Division Director George Matonian. The excitement continues with the announcement that the program will be highlighting three varieties to expand their table grape portfolio this season. They will have their first candy variety with candy snaps available in their Estate Vineyards brand, according to Matonian. He says they are one of the only few growers in California to have the newly released USDA black seedless grape variety Solbrio in production. He says they will also offer the highly coveted Concord flavor Cayojo black seeded grape this season, according to Matonian. Packs will be available in a traditional corrugated carton, new plastic corrugated, and styrofoam. As the 2023 season nears, Matonian says they are catching up a little from last year's start dates. They are approximately 8 to 9 days behind last year's crop. On most varieties, they are at the leaf removal and bunch thinning stages. The good news is this year's bunches are some of the largest he has seen in many years, and the cells of the grape berry are rapidly dividing to give them the maximum berry size they require. Mountain View will have increased volume this season on both premium and proprietary grape varieties. That, according to Mike Thurlow, owner of Mountain View Fruit, he says they are expecting fantastic quality again this year, and they believe 2023 will be a vintage grape season. Staying on the topic of grapes, further strengthening its supply chain in California, OPI has introduced new acreage under the Ocean Spray label. Committed to providing customers with a consistent and diverse grape supply, the company kicks off the San Joaquin Valley season from ranches in Wasco through McFarland, Pixley, Farmersville, and Strathmore. Together, these five regions are expected to produce 20% more than OPI harvested in 2022 as more acreage comes online, according to the company. They are well poised to meet the increasing demand for high-quality grapes with both domestic and internationally grown fruit, according to Senior Vice President of Categories and Marketing James Milne. As the California industry compresses, OPI ranches continue to grow alongside consumption. They prepared for this transition, bringing Piers Hanniberry into their team last year. Now part of OPI's Director of Categories category development, Hanbury said it is an honor to be a part of this team and leverage his expertise to build premium grape supply for North American and make it much easier to do so in the Ocean Spray brand alongside preferred licensed new varieties. Candy Hearts is a new addition to Oppy's conventional and organic lineup this year, a testament to its response to evolving consumer preferences and driving innovation. All Ocean Spray grape varieties are available in clamshells and bags. Furthermore, Oppy continues to integrate agricultural technology into its crops this season, utilizing Bloomfield Robotics' proprietary flash camera to collect data, which is then processed through deep learning artificial intelligence to forecast yield at the cluster level. Such insights inform decision-making, enhance plant performance, and promote overall crop health. Oppy plans to participate in SunWorld's 2023 Field Days, furthering its commitment to stay on the edge of innovation in the grape category. During time spent in Washington, D.C. recently, as Congress debated the deal to extend the debt ceiling to avoid default, a delegation of California Farm Bureau leaders met with lawmakers to advocate on important issues facing farmers and ranchers. It is an extremely important time to be in Washington, D.C., especially during the debate about the debt ceiling and what solving that means for future legislation that is needed in agriculture, whether that is disaster relief or developing the 2023 Farm Bill. That, according to California Farm Bureau President Jamie Johansson. Farm Bureau leaders and the organization's federal policy team met with lawmakers in the nation's capital, and discussions focused on important agricultural issues such as the next federal farm bill, labor, water, forestry, and addressing disasters such as flooding and wildfires. In meetings with Representative Glenn G.T. Thompson, a Republican from Pennsylvania and chairman of the House Committee on Agriculture, which has oversight to craft a five-year farm bill, the delegation received positive feedback while advocating for programs that California farmers, ranchers, and foresters would like to see in the Farm Bill. The omnibus legislation contains 12 titles of programs, including for nutrition, crop assistance, and conservation. The 2018 Farm Bill is set to expire in September. Matthew Vile, California Farm Bureau Associate Director of Federal Policy, said the Farm Bureau delegation advocated for things they've been talking about for almost a year now, such as very high-level crop insurance and risk management programs. He says this is what they're looking to really see grow in the Farm Bill. Farm Bureau leaders in meetings with representatives and legislative staff urged that federal crop insurance be expanded. Johansson says that less than a quarter of California's 400 commodities are covered by crop insurance. To recover from losses, producers have to rely on significantly delayed ad hoc federal funding. He added that many farmers have waited several years before receiving any support from the emergency relief program. The delegation also recommended that other forms of fruits and vegetables such as canned, dehydrated, and frozen be included under the Farm Bill's nutrition title.
Advancements in ventilation for harvested commodities have long enabled packers and growers to protect their stored crops, and new solutions have become available in recent years to reduce potential storage issues and yield losses even further. Things like better storage building designs, tailored ventilation, and automation even. Stephen Parkinson with Industrial Ventilation Incorporated elaborates.
You know, we went from mechanical controls, which was a series of relays, to everything is computerized now, which means more information's available, tighter controls, more sensor capabilities, more control capabilities, and then we can use things app-based on our phones now. You can control it remotely worldwide. So it's all been fairly quickly.
More information being available with automated systems is an important point here, and it's consistent with automated systems in other areas of agriculture as well, not just post-harvest. Parkinson discussed the type of data available at a moment's notice in a storage setting that didn't used to be.
With the old mechanical controls, you didn't have the data logging capability to where, especially with food safety and gap requirements, now you can log temperatures over a 30-day period, hourly, minutely, if that's a word. But anyway, and you can have all that information stored on a computer or in a file. To look at later. If there's any issues, then you might be able to trace what went wrong during the storage season.
Most importantly, with the automated storage and ventilation systems, it's simplifying the whole process.
One of the things, if you look at, if you're trying to use ambient air or outside air to cool or even heat a product, we've gone from just manually picking a time of day, and you might go open the doors and turn some fans on. With our controls and many others, it's a user-chosen or user-based temperature setting, And then the computer calculates what's best air to bring in throughout a 24-hour period, and it does it automatically. So you don't have to worry about catching the right time of day, getting the wrong temperatures. It just makes things more accurate and frees up your time to worry about farming and the other important things to get the product in there.
Simpler management, Parkinson agreed, also means less points of error.
You know, you're letting the computer, like we do many things in our life, take care of a lot of the guesswork out of things and do a lot of the work for you, as well as record what it's doing. We're able to send alerts or notifications if there is a problem in the system, which is quicker notifications so you can solve a problem faster and you don't get into trouble down the road. With the old mechanical stuff, if you didn't go check it that day, you may not know of an issue. Now you can be alerted within seconds, immediately, to an issue.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom. Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com.
Businesses involved in a growing shipping and selling of food have the dual responsibility of leaning into sustainability and addressing waste. The produce industry is both directly contributing to and impacted by climate change. That, according to Ryan Begin, CEO and co-founder of Divert Incorporated, a company that works with businesses to reduce waste through new efficiencies and sustainable solutions. He says it is vital that they come together on the solutions needed to improve sustainability across the industry. The effort runs the length of the perishables supply chain from fields and greenhouses to retail shelves and restaurant tables. In growing fields, soil is a fundamental element, and this is what Ben Johnson, president of Bridges Produce Incorporated of Portland, Oregon, talks about when asked to discuss important sustainability initiatives in the industry. He says in recent years, there's been a huge increase in the knowledge and understanding of soil health and how to manage soil fertility in different regions and climates. The increase in farms participating and experimenting with biologics, cover cropping, and animal grazing as part of crop rotation is providing more data to identify the most efficient and effective methods. He says in Mexico, the advancement of protected agriculture, including greenhouses and shade houses, has a huge impact in several areas, and they use drip irrigation or hydroponic growing, which is low intensity for local and community water systems. And many parts of Mexico, just like the Western United States, are in a drought, so it's important to use all technologies to reduce water. Jungmeier indicates other environmental benefits to protected agriculture, including integrated pest control that reduces the need for chemicals and also helps fruit have fewer blemishes, lead to less overall waste, and a higher percentage of top quality crops. 7 of the 8 major fertilizers are less expensive than they were last month. Only 3 fertilizers were noticeably cheaper. Anhydrous was 14% lower compared with the prior month, and nitrogen fertilizer had an average price of $787 a ton. UAN-32 was 8% less expensive than last month, with an average price of $478 a ton. Urea was 6% lower, with an average of $622 a ton. 4 other fertilizers were slightly lower compared to last month. DAP had an average price of $822 a ton. Potash was at $618. 1034-0 at $739 and UAN-28 at $411. Just one fertilizer was slightly more expensive compared to a month ago. MAP had an average price of $832 a ton. Senator Roger Marshall has introduced legislation that amends the Richard Russell National School Lunch Act to allow schools participating in the program to serve whole milk. The Dietary Guidelines for Americans reports that nearly 90% of Americans do not meet their daily dairy intake recommendations. The Kansas Republican says he truly believes food is medicine, and by increasing kids' access to milk, they will help prevent health complications down the road and encourage nutrient-rich diets for years to come. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain has a story on the amount of enrolled acreage resulting from the recent USDA General Conservation Reserve Program signup.
The results are in for the recent general signup of USDA's Conservation Reserve Program.
We're doing just over 1 million acres. I think the number is 1.018 million acres.
Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau says the acreage enrollment number is
a clear indication that producers still see this as a great program and a viable alternative to trying to squeeze every last bit of production out of some of these less productive acres.
The breakdown breakdown includes 295,000 newly enrolled acres nationwide through the general CRP sign-up, plus re-enrollment of 891,000 acres with expiring CRP contracts. More total CRP acres will be added after acceptance of land enrolled in the grassland component of the Conservation Reserve Program, as well as continuous CRP sign-up. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Dairy products have been a staple in American households for a very long time, and a recent survey reveals this still remains true for the majority of consumers. June is National Dairy Month, and while most U.S. adults at 70% already say the dairy aisle is essential on every grocery trip, there are budget-friendly and alternative options that make the dairy aisle a key stop for every kind of shopper. An Automilk study for the National Frozen and Refrigerated Food Associations reveals that a majority of U.S. consumers claim they always stop at the dairy aisle to buy products they will eat later, whether it be dairy-based favorites, non-dairy products, or even plant-based dairy alternatives. Moreover, 88% of U.S. consumers say they are likely to find options that fit their lifestyle in the dairy aisle. As consumer trends and preferences shift over time, the dairy aisle continues to innovate and remains a constant in U.S. consumers' shopping trips. That, according to Tricia Grayshock, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association. She says nearly 3 in 5 U.S. consumers, or 56%, report that products from the dairy aisle take up half or more than half of the space in their refrigerator.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.